Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new The Hacker Factory podcast with hacker maker Philip Wiley. You're about to discover what the role of a professional hacker entails, the different specializations it holds, and what it takes to learn and become one. Enjoy the conversation as Philip and guests unveil the secrets of professional hacking. A mysterious, intriguing, and often misunderstood occupation. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hacker Factory podcast. I'm Philip Wiley. I refer to myself as the Hacker Maker because I like to mentor, teach, and educate aspiring pen testers and help them get started in the career. And so, and each one of these episodes are people that got starts in some different way that's unique that might resonate with you more than others. And so these stories can be very inspiring. And I've got a really cool guest, someone I know from my local community that we got to meet in person at the NorTex ISSA conference, you know, back in 2019. We were connected on social media, so it was really cool to meet Rich, and it's really kind of cool. You know, you see people doing pen tests and they're relying on Metasploit and Nessus to be able to own things, but Rich is finding 0 days on his pen test. So they're, you know, you don't have Metasploit modules for that. Nessus can't find 0 days. So it's really kind of cool. He's a very talented person and really interested in, you know, happy to share his story with you. So Rich, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Philip. Appreciate it.
If you could just introduce yourself to our audience and tell them a little about yourself.
Sure. So my name is Rich Murch. I'm a senior adversarial engineer at Critical Start. And, you know, we focus on pen testing and red teaming type things. So I'm just entering my fifth year into the offensive security. And, you know, prior to joining that, pretty much my entire career has been focused around IT administration. So when I, you know, graduated school a while back, I, you know, became a AIX administrator, which is IBM's Unix. So I did that for many years, and I've always been interested in Unix and Linux type systems. So prior to getting into security, that's pretty much been my focus. I've also, along the way, have opportunities to work on different databases, all, you know, running on, you know, Linux or Unix environments. And it was in probably early 2017, I wasn't looking for a different opportunity. And someone that I had worked with previously forwarded me an email about a potential opportunity within the company where I worked at, which is a large, you know, Fortune 500 type company. And it was, you know, about, you know, details about this job on the penetration testing team, which, you know, I knew there was those types of teams within, you know, the company, but didn't really know much about them. So he thought it was, you know, something that I might be interested in, because even, you know, as a sysadmin, I've always, you know, focused on security type things. I've even, you know, found some vulnerabilities, you know, many years ago before I even really knew, you know, what a CV was. You know, I was looking for different things and ways to secure things. So I've kind of dabbled in security throughout my career, just not in a, like an official capacity. So I reached out to some people, ended up, you know, seeing, you know, it looked like something that I really would like to do. At that time, I was kind of bored with my job. I could do it with minimal effort, even though, you know, I was managing thousands, like literally thousands of servers. I didn't have the drive anymore. So I decided to pursue it, and I went through the interview process and it worked out. And then I ended up coming to Texas and joining the team, you know, probably about 3 or 4 months after that.
That's a very cool story. So have you ever thought about being a penetration tester before that opportunity?
Not really. No. I wasn't actively looking or even just looking at all. So I was, you know, happy where I was, but, you know, I wasn't trying to change anything. So I didn't have like a career aspiration of becoming a red teamer or a penetration tester or doing anything like that. at that point.
That's very cool. Cause normally, you know, most people that get into it, it's something they want to do. So this is definitely going to be a good story for people to hear out there that, you know, someone that wasn't even considered got into it and to do as well as you're doing, because I'm really surprised. And someone at your level for 5 years, that's pretty amazing, because there's a lot of people that have been doing this twice or three times as long as you that aren't at your level.
Yeah. I think, like, you know, I look back at it as that was really a pivotal point in my career where I just completely shifted things. But what I also didn't realize was how much, you know, working in as a sysadmin and databases and, you know, all different infrastructure type things, how much that has helped me. So when I, you know, my first few pen tests, it kind of feels weird. I don't know if other people have had this, you know, feeling before, but, you know, I went from, you know, fixing things to all of a sudden I'm trying to break things, you know, in a good way. You know, I kind of felt like I was doing something wrong. But I didn't realize how much I would be leveraging my previous knowledge, you know, at doing pen testing and offensive security type things. And I use it all the time. It's pretty much every day I'm doing something that I learned previously to help me be more efficient or to understand better whatever I'm testing.
Yeah, it's very cool. I came from a sysadmin background too. So it's one of the things that people underestimate, because, you know, and I even, one of a real good friend of mine, I got him on with a pen test team I was part of, and he had a sysadmin background, and just seeing how he was working in security, his curiosity and some of the things he did was uncovering some vulnerabilities. You know, I'd recommend him to our manager. He didn't have the pen testing experience, but just, I knew he had the potential. We had another guy on our team that's really strong IT sysadmin background that did pretty good. And he came in and did that as well. So anyone that's listening, you know, understand you need to know those technologies before you can secure it or break it.
Yes, it definitely helps. And I mean, one big aspect of pen testing is you're always going to find, you know, hit something or test something that you've never seen before. So that's a big part of it, which is pretty exciting part of it. But a lot of it is similar to, you know, technologies that you've experienced before. So you can leverage that experience to be more effective in your job.
That's good. So that's great. So be able to find these 0-day vulnerabilities you find, what do you accredit that? What in your studies helped you build that skill set to get that level?
So right when I was about to start the pen testing job, probably about a month before, I started looking for vulnerabilities. And for anybody, you know, looking in that, you know, wants to go this angle in offensive security, I started with something I was familiar with. And I think that helps. And I found four vulnerabilities in this product by a big company. And I submitted them to they had like a web form at the time. And, you know, didn't really hear much back. And it took about 4 months. And when it became public, I sent it to my manager. And the cool thing that he did was, you know, he liked to kind of showcase our work. So he sent that out. Pretty much everybody in information security got a copy of this email saying, you know, look what I did, found some vulnerabilities, big company. And like, I got probably like 100 different responses of people like congratulating me or, you know, and it was such a great feeling that, you know, that ever since then, I just kind of been hooked, because it's kind of like a rush. And so I spend a lot of my free time doing that. Pretty much every week, you know, on average, I'll probably spend 20 to 30 hours a week outside of work, just messing with things. And sometimes it's, you know, focused on, you know, actually looking for vulnerabilities or just learning different things. But what I like about it is it keeps my mind working and I'm constantly learning things. So one thing that you don't see a lot when people do vulnerability research, you see a lot of the successes, you know, the write-ups, the cool vulnerabilities, but there's a lot of failures. And to me, failure is a good thing. So there's times when I will spend hours doing something and I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. And maybe I don't get anywhere. But sometimes several months later, I'll have more information or some other technique or something I learned that will help me finish what I was doing. So it really keeps my mind sharp, and which translates directly, you know, into pen testing and offensive security. because that's what we're doing. We're looking for vulnerabilities, you know, as part of our job. So having that, keeping that mindset of looking for something that's out of place, you know, abnormal, you may not be able to exploit it depending on what it is, but it's still, you know, it keeps that mindset going.
That's very cool. Definitely sound like you found your calling as far as what you were supposed to do in life.
Yes, I definitely feel like that. And I still do sysadmin stuff all the time. I have servers, physical servers. I've been running a server for about 20 years, but I have virtual stuff too. So I still do that same type of stuff. I'm still tinkering on the sysadmin side just to, as I enjoy, you know, I'm still a sysadmin at heart. So, you know, I continuously try different things and sometimes that translates to, you know, exploiting a vulnerability that I found outside of work, you know, on an actual test, which is really cool.
That's cool. And the sysadmin stuff is helpful too for pen test teams and red teams to have someone with the capabilities internally.
Yes. Yep. There's, you always have your own type of infrastructure and sometimes you'll need automation to maintain things. So it definitely pays dividends all the time.
So that's pretty cool. Pretty amazing to be finding vulnerabilities and O-days before you even got started on the pen test team. So that's pretty cool. So I'm sure they were pretty confident they made the right selection when they saw that.
It's definitely nerve wracking, like going into an established team, like you don't really know how you're going to fit, you know, you want to be able to, you know, bring something to the table. So it was cool to kind of hit the ground running, even though I really didn't know much about it at that time.
So when you joined your new team working as a consultant, did you find that, I know you probably got to your limit with your old company. So did working with these new people help expand your capabilities?
Yeah. So it was, you know, I was in a very secure position at a great company, worked with great people. And, you know, I left kind of like in the middle of April last year. So it was kind of like when the world was melting and, you know, it was kind of a weird time, but it was something that I felt I had to do to really expand my career and have, and there was really a couple of main goals by doing it. I wanted to learn more things and I wanted to experience more environments. Even though I worked for a large company with an insane amount of assets and different things to test, it was still kind of more of the same thing. So I wanted to have that other experience. And there was some things like I just couldn't do because we either didn't have it or I knew it wasn't going to work. So there are certain techniques or tools that I just couldn't experience unless, you know, maybe testing in my own lab environment. So, you know, making that shift, it's definitely a different type of environment. It's very rewarding though, because I really like going into an environment that I know nothing about. And maybe by the end of that test, I know more about the environment than the client does. So it's pretty neat to have that ability, but also, you know, and this goes back to my first pen test, you know, I remember having my first meeting with, you know, our internal customer and giving them the bad news, essentially, of things we found. You know, I was very nervous going into it, you know, how are they going to react? And it, like, the first 5 minutes of the meeting was very stressful. Like, you know, some arguing going back, but then it like kind of turned around and it ended up being very positive. So like when I find something and, you know, you can give the information and tell the client, you know, how to fix it and give some recommendations. You know, that's something that you it feels great to do that. And then you know that they're more secure as a direct result of your work. So that's, you know, that's a really good feeling to have.
That's a good thing. And just hearing you talk, you know, during this discussion is pretty interesting. One of the things to think about too, is I like that you seem to go into environments and try to get the lay of the land, figure out how things are set up, opposed to your typical someone going in running vulnerability scans or running, you know, port scans and all that sort of stuff, and then doing their pen test from that approach. But it sounds like you're just kind of really going in and figuring out what all's there before you really get started.
Yes. Yeah. I like to really understand the environment and kind of maybe sometimes I feel like I'm maybe too slow at times. But having, you know, taking a step back and not rushing, and I do see that happen, especially with new people that are in it, is it almost feels like a rush, you know, like you got to rush through it. And, you know, if you, you look at something and you don't find anything, then just move on to something else. But sometimes some vulnerabilities may take 4 or 5 hours or more to fully understand and exploit. And that's kind of the rewarding part, is when you go through all that work and you find a critical vulnerability because you spent the time, you know, to find it's very rewarding.
That's great. So do you feel like your approach is a lot based on your sysadmin background, to, you know, you were in those environments for years and you understood it, and then you understood you've got to go, you're in these new environments and you're trying to learn that as soon as you can?
Definitely. Yep. So I can quickly identify high value targets, even just by simply enumerating DNS manually. So I do a lot of manual testing. I don't really do much automation, maybe some MMAP scans, you know, things like that. But most of what I'm doing is manual. So I'm interacting with the services, you know, directly and trying to understand the service and, you know, leveraging the sysadmin experience. So like if I see, you know, a Jenkins server or an NFS server or, you know, something like that, I know I have some specific things that I will test just because I know about misconfigurations and, you know, common issues that, you know, I had when I was a sysadmin. So it's nice to be able to key in on those types of things quickly.
That's good. So you had that sysadmin background. So what did you really do to educate yourself when becoming a pen tester? How did you go about that?
So before I got started, I had talked with some of the folks in the offensive security teams, and I bought like a bunch of books. I just started reading and just kind of rinsing and repeating. And I, you know, over the years, I've taken different trainings. I did, you know, OSCP in my second year, I did that. And so that was a, you know, kind of like a big jump. But really just pen testing and offensive security for me is a constant state of learning. So I never stop learning. That's what I think it's really about. I can leverage my previous experiences, especially, you know, as a sysadmin, but I'm constantly seeing stuff that I have no idea what it is or, you know, how to use it. So it's really about learning for me. So that's really what I focus on. And it may not be like a formalized training, but it's reading something, trying things, you know, just constantly trying to understand things. And it's, for me, I've always had a hard time with balance. That's why, you know, I don't do much other than, you know, do research in my free time and stuff like that. But it definitely helps to, you know, have that mindset of, you know, it's okay that you don't know what you're looking at, because you have the experience and the mindset to understand it. And that's kind of like the cycle of pen testing for me.
Oh, very cool. So what type of things, I know you're doing some red teaming and network pen testing. What all types of pen testing do you do there at your job?
So it's kind of a variety. So I do, there's one aspect of my job where I get to do vulnerability research, you know, in my downtime. So I just finished up some research that hopefully I'll be able to publish in a few months. So some interesting vulnerabilities we'll be blogging about. So that's one aspect of my job. But for the pen testing side, so I'll do web app tests, internal tests. So I do quite a few of those. It could be external, internal, or a combination. Just depends, but it's kind of a variety.
So do you do much application pen testing?
It depends. Sometimes I'll do like specific, you know, custom written apps, you know, focused just on that app, which is nice. And once in a while, it'll be source code assisted testing, which is, in my opinion, the best way to actually do those types of tests, because instead of flying blind, you can really key in on areas that need to be, you know, that are potentially vulnerable that you may not get to if you didn't have the code. So it just depends on, you know, the scheduling and you know, availability and things like that. But every once in a while, I get to do an app specific focus test.
That's good. Pretty cool. So as far as like, you know, a lot of people that are pen testers, they either believe you do need this or you don't need it. But what are your thoughts on people needing to know how to code to be a pen tester?
So for me, like I have always coded for my entire career, my fun time or free time. And, you know, in some cases in my job, A lot of it was focused around automation, but also, you know, just experimenting with different languages. So if you come from a development background, you will definitely have an edge for those types of app pen tests. You may not have, you know, that specific language, but most of the concepts, you know, translate between the languages. So having that will definitely help. Is it required? No, I don't think so, but it will definitely give you an edge, because there's going to be specific things, you know, especially with like web apps, you know, it's all about data, you know, untrusted data. So if you have the experience with, you know, creating those types of applications and maybe even securing the data or accessing databases in a secure manner, when you review another application that someone wrote, you'll be able to understand quickly or, you know, zero in on those areas of the application. So you don't necessarily have to be a full-on developer, but having more knowledge of different languages and how they interact with, you know, web servers is definitely a plus.
Yeah, pretty cool. It's interesting to actually, I've actually talked to, and I don't want to ruin this for anyone that's listening to the podcast that hadn't heard the episode yet, but it's kind of interesting. Some of the people say that you don't need to be able to, you don't need to be a programmer and know how to code to do pen testing. So some of the people actually shared that with me. I was kind of surprised, but I know as far as like a lot of people I see that are really good are coders. You see a lot of different people that are creating the tools that are really good hackers. So what's your favorite language to code in when you're trying to write tools or any kind of scripts for pen testing?
So probably the most thing that I write all the time is Bash, because, you know, like if, let's say, for example, I'm on a pen test and I find a vulnerability and I know about one instance of this, and now I have, you know, maybe 3,000 assets. I need to find the other ones. So I'll use a combination of Bash, maybe Python once in a while, but I like to experiment with other languages. You know, C, would I write C on a pen test? Probably not. But, you know, in my free time, you know, I have experience with that. Golang, it's really, you know, whatever I need to do. So I do a lot of command line stuff, you know, awk, sed, those types of things, you know, quick, dirty hacks, you know, not full on scripts, just to like, you know, parse data. Cause that's what you do, especially on a large test. You'll be parsing data a lot, trying to take something and make it either useful for input to another tool or just to kind of get information for a report. So it's really a variety.
Well, that's cool. So what do you think of Golang? How do you like that?
I think Golang is pretty cool how it works. It's, at first it was annoying having the format of it, you know, the strict format, but I've gotten past that now. And it's pretty neat what you can do with, you know, with little code, and it really creates clean code. So yeah, I definitely really like Go.
Pretty cool. So what would you recommend to someone wanting to become a pen tester? Where would you start?
So, you know, we all have different, you know, paths into information security, and specifically, you know, pen testing and red teaming. So, you know, having an idea of where you want to be. So some people, like if you read about red teaming, or, you know, watch videos or whatever, red teaming sounds really cool, and it is cool, but it's much different than pen testing. So understanding the difference between pen testing and that, you know, red teaming, more of the emulation side of things. So I think for most people, unless they have some other types of experiences they can leverage on, you know, focus on pen testing is probably the better route to go. And there's the amount of resources it's kind of overwhelming. I know there's a huge focus on certifications, especially like OSCP. There's lots of other options now too, but OSCP seems to be the biggest one. And so I think certifications are good, but I've also had the opportunity to sit on many pen test interviews with folks that have OSCP and folks that don't have OSCP. And just because you have OSCP doesn't really mean anything. It may get you in the door. That's really the benefit from, you know, having that under your belt, is you might get the interview, you know, pass HR filter, but if you have OSCP, you probably should be prepared to answer some harder questions than someone that doesn't. So, you know, during the interview process, if you do get the interview, it's good to show, you know, that you're, you know, the passion. You know, everybody that I, you know, pretty much work with on a regular basis, they have a passion for it. And that really comes through in the interview. It's just not, you know, a mechanical. It's like they really enjoy what they're doing. So they're doing stuff on their own. If you, let's say you have an interview question and you say you ran Metasploit and maybe there was some specific exploit or technique or something. One thing that I might ask is, well, you know, you ran that, do you know what it does? Do you know what's really happening? So if you're going to, you know, most interviews are going to be technical based, at least the majority of the interview would be. So if you're going to talk about tools or techniques or things you learned, you know, have a deeper understanding of what you're going to talk about. That, I think, will go a long way instead of saying, I ran this tool and yeah, I got a shell, but you know, I don't really understand what that did. You know, going in deeper, it'll help you in your career, but it'll also help you, you know, impress the interviewers too. So there's a lot of resources like Hack the Box, you know, Vulnerable Machines. There's Try Hack Me. There's all these options right now. So having some experience with that also would help too. But another thing I suggest, if you know, most people are probably on Twitter, but if they're not, definitely be on Twitter. So I, you know, I'm on it. I don't spend a ton of time on it, but I'm, you know, it's a good place to stay in tune with what's happening. You know, being aware of vulnerabilities that come out. You know, different research that comes out, and then you know, it's always good to learn more about that. So if you see some cool thing that you might be interested in, you know, read that blog, maybe try it on your own, try to reproduce it. That'll help you solidify concepts and learn more about the vulnerability, but also, you know, show others that you have that ability to. So another thing I suggest for people, and this is new people, but is to share the information. So information is better shared. And you can do this in a variety of ways. One way is writing a blog. So I started a blog my second year. And what I got out of the blog was it really helped me understand the material more, because when you're putting something out there to the world, you want to understand it better. You don't want to just put out, you know, garbage. So you put more effort into it and, you know, write the blog for yourself. Others will benefit from it, but write it for yourself. So if you're in, you know, if you did like Hack the Box and it's a retired box, you know, write about your process and how you found, you know, and whatever techniques you used. If you're into, you know, looking for vulnerabilities, talk about how you found the vulnerability. And it's not just putting a proof of concept out there, because that's really not the piece where people learn. That's a part of it, but it's really about the process. So focus on the process. So like if I'm on an interview and it's for a pen test job and maybe it's a newer person, new to the field, realize that you're not going to know all the answers. And that's okay. That's expected. But how you respond to that, you know, could make or break your interview. So if you don't know something, you know, talk about the process of what you might do. You know, it's, you know, show the interviewers how you think, because that's a big part of it. Because you will face walls all the time. If you do a certification, you'll hit walls. In real life, you'll face walls. So it's, you know, how do you deal with that and how do you get around those walls? I think what really counts.
Great advice. So just out of curiosity, one of the things I know that people trying to get into the field, you know, kind of discussed, you know, what you recommend on learning. Is there anything you can think of that someone could do that if they don't have pen testing experience, what could they get that you think would actually help them? Or what can they do that would actually get them an interview and have them considered if they don't have actual professional experience as a pen tester?
So yeah, it's definitely hard to make that jump for me. You know, I feel lucky that the opportunity was presented, because I don't know where I'd be today, you know, what I would be doing today if that hadn't worked out. So if I was actively pursuing it, you know, showing that passion. So if you want to be a pen tester, do pen tester type things and do what works for you. Some people love Hack the Box. So if you're going to do Hack the Box, you know, do it, but don't rush through those types of things. If you do OSP, don't rush through it. Think of whatever you're doing, whether it's, you know, trying to test a machine, it's designed to teach you something. So, you know, get through that. And then ideally, you know, share it, because I think, you know, if you have five candidates and one of those has this blog where they keep sharing things, I think that really helps. But that really comes off in an interview if you have that passion for it. So there is different aspects of pen testing. So really vulnerability research isn't, you know, pen testing. But for me, that's what I like to do. So that's what I do in my free time. There's other areas within offensive security, you know, learning tools like, you know, pretty much everybody uses Nmap. Well, Nmap is an insane piece of software, which has hundreds of options, probably, you know, maybe go deep on some of those options and understand what they do, you know, not just running it, see how much traffic it generates, you know, try to have a understanding of what's happening behind the scenes, because that will translate, you know, to the interview.
Yeah, great advice. So we're getting down towards the end of the show, and I was just going to open it up for you if there's anything you'd like to mention or discuss that we didn't go over that you feel is important.
So for I kind of touched on this before, but pen testing is really about learning. So keep that in mind. It can be frustrating at times, but if you focus on the learning, it will translate and you will eventually get a chance. So I do believe that. And, you know, information is better shared. So if you learn something, share it with someone else, whether it's a blog or just sharing it with a friend, you know, let's keep that information flowing, because I think that's, you know, how we all learn from each other. I think that's a key part of this.
That's great advice and a great philosophy. I remember some of the, you know, at one time, like, you know, coming from an IT background, how some people seem to think it was job security if they didn't share what they knew. And you know, that makes it so much harder. And I've been on pen test teams where they didn't share how to do something. You got some new people coming in. There's a certain kind of vulnerability. You're in an Nessus scan. You got to figure out how to validate that. And if someone would just put that in a wiki or somewhere, share it, then it would be easier for the new people coming in and they get up to speed quicker. So yeah, I definitely like that idea of sharing information.
Yep. And also give yourself credit. You know, sometimes, like for myself, you know, you don't realize how far you've come along, and it can be really challenging at times, but, you know, take, you know, give yourself a pat on the back once in a while, you know, self-reflect and realize that, you know, if you're doing the work, you put in the time, whether it's a certification or just, you know, learning, if you put in the time, it will definitely translate. It may just take a little bit of time to get there.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me. It was great having you as a guest on the show.
Thanks for having me. I had a ball here. Really appreciate the opportunity to share.
Yeah, thanks for sharing your thoughts. It was a great conversation. And thanks everyone for joining, and we'll see you on the next episode.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Hacker Factory podcast with Philip Wiley. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSBmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.